Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for what you're going to do this morning. Amen. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that we can cry out to you in worship, that you hear our prayers. Father, I thank you for Steve. Anoint his words he's going to share. I don't know what he has for us, but whatever he has for us, pray that it would connect with our spirits, and you would speak to us, and that your word would show forth its power today as Steve speaks till this morning. Just bless Steve this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Daniel. Bless you, Steve.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be here today. Wonderful Sunday. What I want to talk about today is different points how to grow in Christ. I don't really have them in order. It's just different areas that I like to look at. I'm not saying one is more important than the other. But I'm just going to go down through different areas that we can look at. The first one I want to look at is, it is very easy in our lifestyle to plateau. To going through life and, I'll be honest, you reached my age, you went through some struggles, and you don't go further. It is so easy to plateau. I believe if we want to grow, in Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it will be open. In Matthew 5:6 it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for this will be filled. Is that same hunger still within you, still within us? That longing to go further with God, does that burn in our spirits? Or are you satisfied where you're at? If we don't seek, we don't find. If we don't knock, it probably things won't open up to us. If we don't ask, we won't get. And it's so easy to plateau. But I have yet to believe that you can come to a point in life and now you know the depth of everything there is to know in the Father. I don't believe that exists. So why do we stop where we are? I want to encourage everyone, let's not plateau. Because no one will plateau, nothing will make you plateau but ourselves. We become satisfied where we are in life, and we just plateau. We need to keep asking. We need to keep seeking. And I just love these verses. And all of these characteristics that I'm bringing out today is I've seen this in people that are growing. And one of the characteristics in people that continue to grow is they're continually seeking. They're continually crying out. They're continually asking, and they don't stop. Their growth, you can see that they continue our learning. So I want to compel us all. Let's not plateau, but let's continue growing. Another area is find a mentor. Now I'm going to read two verses here, and then I want to bring out what I see here. In Matthew 28:19 it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, in the King James Version, it says, be ye followers of me. This is Paul talking. Be ye followers of me as I am followers of God, of Christ. Here Paul is saying, Jesus was saying, we are to go and make disciples. And I agree 100% with that. But I want to ask, are you a disciple? Is someone discipling you? Or have you come to the point that you don't know no one that can help you grow further? You know, what do you do with a mentor? You know, a mentor, okay, let me break it down this way. This is what I recognize in a mentor. We all go through life and we have struggles. And as we continue growing, we learn from these struggles. But if we have a mentor, they can teach us some things they learned through the struggles without us having to go through the struggles yet, and we can grow that way. I count that a blessing. And here when I see Jesus is saying, we are to be disciples, the thought that came to me is, am I a disciple? And is someone discipling me? Am I asking someone to disciple me? And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to make this twofold. Can you say this to someone else? Can you tell, do you have the confidence of the Christ in you that you can tell someone else, follow me as I follow Christ? Or are you ashamed of your life? But the part that I like to focus on is the beauty of being a disciple. I believe it's a blessing. And if you're not being discipled, I want to challenge you. Find someone to disciple you. Ask someone to disciple you. Another area I want to look at is obedience. Matthew 7:24-27 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. For everyone that hears these sayings of mine does not do them, we liken to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. If you want to grow in Christ, obedience is absolutely huge. And I believe the foundation for obedience is simply in the Word of God. Do we love the truth? And do we read it to find out what it says? And then when we find out what it says, do we adjust our life to fit the Bible? Or do you interpret the Bible to fit your life? We do one or the other. Either we get the Bible to fit us, or we choose to fit the Bible. Obedience to me is so foundational that I don't know how it's possible to grow in Christ without walking in obedience. And sometimes it is possible we look at the Word of God sometimes and say, I am a Christian. This has nothing to do with my salvation, so it doesn't really matter. That's not what I'm talking about. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift that we cannot do anything to earn. But once we are saved, we want to walk in truth. We want to walk in understanding, in obedience to what His character is. And it takes me to the next one. Are we a lover of the truth? This here burns within me. Is do we love truth? If you love truth, you look at the Word of God totally different than if you don't love truth. If you love truth, you go in there looking for it. I'm going to read a passage, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be so soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the days of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery, the lawlessness, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God sent them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. This passage really speaks to me. Do you love truth? If you do not love truth, it says there's going to be a spirit that God is going to send delusion amongst you, us. But what saves us is a lover of the truth. If you love truth, you do not need to fear deception. In Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Do you love the character of God? The law he's talking about is his character. Do you love his character? Does that get you excited to understand the character of God? His law is a reflection of who he is. And if we love truth, we will find it. But there's so many times as people have gone into the scriptures to see what they can get away with instead of how they come in alignment to the Holy God, to the Father. So my encouragement is, if we want to grow, you got to love truth. I do not know how growth can happen without being a lover of the truth, where your desire is all the time to line yourself up with the living God. Whether you're in business, whether you're driving your car, whether you're eating, whether you're sleeping, I don't care what for activity we're in. Our constant desire should be that our whole being in every aspect of life is loving truth. And when we love truth and we're obedient, I believe we're going to grow. If we're crying out for more, we want that deeper walk, you're going to experience it. What stops that? When we start switching the Word of God and make the Word fit us instead of us fitting the Word. And I don't know how to do that. Recently, I was challenged in that area in our small group. We were looking at James. And James was simply saying, don't plan. And I'll be honest, I don't even know how to fit that into my life. I don't know how to do my business if I would never plan. If I tell my suppliers, yeah, I'll show. I'm not sure when I'm going to get there, but I'll get there sometime. So I don't. That was one part that really baffled me, because here James is saying, don't plan. Read it. It's very obvious. Don't plan. So I don't know how to make that fit my life, or for my life to fit that. I'm not sure how, because to live life without planning, I don't know. It bugged me. It kind of blew my mind. But I think as much as possible, get your life to line up with God. Wherever you can, line your life up with God in every aspect. And do that as a pre-thought. Commit that now, so that when you run up against it, as you say, I am not lined up here in this area, that it's not even a point of consideration. It's already done. And the way it's already done is by deciding now that you love truth, and that God's ways are higher than yours, and as quick as you find something in your life that's not lining up with the Word of God, it's immediately changed. There's not even a debate. It's done. The other area that I see, is, now this one here is actually a really big one, is fear of deception. Fear of deception will keep you from growing in God. Fear of deception kills faith. And I'm going to read some verses to you, then I want to share what I see in these verses. If you go to Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. If his son asks bread of any father among you, will he give him a stone? Now, just the fathers here. If your child is hungry, will you turn and give him a plate of dirt? I mean, is there any dad here that would do that? I mean, just think through this. If your child is hungry, will you go and get him a pile of dirt, put it on a plate, and say, here, son? Is there anyone here that would do that? If he has a fish because he wants to make something, we'll turn around and give him a snake. I mean, God is saying here, or if he asks an egg, will you give him a scorpion? I mean, we don't struggle with scorpions in this area of the country. But I think we understand what a scorpion is. A scorpion is not cool to play with. Your child is hungry, so you give him a scorpion and say, here you go, son, eat it up. We don't do that. Then Jesus said, if you then, being evil, we have the sin nature in us. But even because we have the sin nature in us, we still know how to give good things to our children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And this here is what the point I'm trying to bring here. I do not believe if you have a fully surrendered heart, if you're crying out for truth, if you're walking in obedience, and if you love truth, that you need to fear deception. Because if you have the fear of deception in your life, it will kill faith, because you're scared to step out. What if I'm going to get deceived? Listen, if you're, which one of us would have that has children, and they sincerely say, Daddy, today I learned this in school. Is this truth? And you know it's a lie. And you know if they believe this, that it's going to be a devastating in their life. And you just let them go. And he's asking you sincerely, Daddy, is this true? How much more so our Heavenly Father, if we come before him in honesty, not with a rebellion heart, but with an open heart, with a desire for truth and ask for truth, and you think that he's going to let us get deceived? We do not have to walk around with the fear of deception in our life, because that there will, it kills faith. You're scared to step out, because in Christ, the unknown is huge. It's huge. You can go all kinds of places. God is huge. And to teach us, he might teach us into areas that we're not sure where this is going to lead to. We don't understand what it's going to be. And what holds us back so often is, what if I get deceived? Brothers and sisters, you don't have to fear deception. If God is who he says in the Word of God he is, and you sincerely have an open heart before him, and there's no rebellion in your heart. I'm not talking about a rebellious heart here. If you have a rebellious heart, that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about a fully surrendered heart, crying out to God for direction. He will not allow you to get deceived. He's going to bring something in your life that you're going to fully understand that what you are walking down is not right. You'll get that. I know in our hearts, sometimes, you know, we might go down a wrong path. But don't fear that. Because if you have an open heart before the Father, you're going to understand. You're going to get it before it's too late. I'm not going to say you're never going to start walking down the wrong road. But God's going to stop you. Something's going to happen that you understand that, oops, I screwed up. I'm going down the wrong road. Sorry, God. And you turn around and get back on track. It's that simple. But if you have fear of deception, as quick as the Lord leads you a certain way, oh, I'm not so sure about that one. What if I get deceived? And you stop. And it's all, and what's directing your life is fear. I tell you, you're not going to get very far in walking with God if we have fear of deception. And it is so sneaky. And it can affect our life so quickly. And I'm saying it's totally ridiculous. Because we don't need it. Because I just see God as a loving Father that wants to direct our life. And if we live an honest life before him, he's going to. In a verse that just came to me right now, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. There is no room for fear of deception in that verse. It is zero. Let's grab a hold of it. And let's walk in faith. Let's walk in courage. Let's walk in understanding. And let's not fear that, because it's not from the Father. The other area I want to look at is brokenness. And there's a song here that I would like us all to sing now. I like to sing it through twice. But this song really ministered to me. So if you want to sing it with me, you're welcome to. Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Would you be so one with me that you would do just as I will? Will you be light and life and love my word fulfilled? Yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar for you. Yes, I'll be broken like bread to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be so one with you that you may do just as you will. Yes, I'll be light and life and love your word fulfilled. Let's sing that again. Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Would you be so one with me that I may do just as I will? Would you be light and life and love my word fulfilled? Yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar for you. Yes, I'll be broken like bread to feed the hungry. Yes, I'll be so one with you that you may do just as you will. Yes, I'll be light and life and love your word fulfilled. I don't know what this does to you, but if you look at this idea of being broken, I don't know if what goes through your mind when you think of wine, but wine is broken. It is broken. And then it goes through a fermenting stage. Bread is crushed. It goes through the oven. It goes through these stages to get prepared. Are you willing to go through those stages to be prepared? This is some of the other things I mentioned is something we can do. But being broken, I don't believe it's possible for a person to go, today I'm going to choose to be broken. This is something that God's going to have to take you through. Being broken is too painful. It's too heart-wrenching to go through it yourself and say, today I'm going to choose to be broken. It's God that's going to have to do to it. And it's going to hurt. But I believe if we can see the big picture, we can go through the brokenness time with joy. We can go through it with joy. We can embrace it. I remember so clearly a man. He went just through the broken stage. And he goes, I cannot pray no more for God to break me. It hurts too much. But when I process those words, I go, brother, you don't understand the beauty. You don't understand the beauty of being broken before the Father. Because brokenness prepares you. There are some people that can go through ministry and they're giving all the time. They're giving and they're giving and they're giving. And do you know what? They don't burn out. They don't get tired. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God flowing through them and coming out. But it's not possible to do that on your own strength. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit in you that you went through that broken time when you were crushed, when you were broken, and there's nothing left. And it's too painful to do it yourself. You have to go through the Father. And I also believe that going through that broken stage, you can sometimes jump out of it. My encouragement is embrace it. Embrace it with joy. Embrace it with anticipation because it's a preparation stage to be poured out like wine. It's a preparation stage to become bread, that your life is a living sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? It's a total surrender before God and say, God, I will go wherever you want. I will be whatever you want me to be. It doesn't matter. I'm totally sold out. But I don't know any way possible to go there unless you're willing to be broken. You're willing to go through the fire. And I don't believe brokenness is a one-time experience. I believe it's a lifestyle. A lifestyle of being fully surrendered and willing to go through any fire. Because God is good. He does not go, he does not send us through those trials just for the kicks of it. He doesn't allow, just like, I don't think there's any parents here that when your child is struggling, is hurting, that you go, oh yes, this was so much fun seeing him go through this. No, you weep with him. You weep with your children. You desire to see them grow. But as God sees the big picture, he says this brokenness is when I can form him and he can come out of this and my word can go through him and can be pure and it's not defiled. It comes out beautiful. He sees the big picture. Are we willing to step back and allow us to go through that brokenness? And I'm a firm believer. We can ask for brokenness. We can ask, Father, I got to go deeper. I don't care what it costs me. If it costs me brokenness, if it costs me this and this, it doesn't matter. I just want that depth in you. I want to know you in a deeper way. If that's what it takes, I'm in. And it brings me to another, the last point here is fully surrendered. In Philippians 2:11, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Someday we are going to all confess that Jesus is Lord. I would encourage you to do it now and be fully surrendered before the Father. I'm telling you, to live a life of fully surrender before the Father in every area is absolutely amazing life to live. Where it does not matter what the Father lays his finger on, you, it's not a struggle because you have before decided that you're going to be fully surrendered, that the cost is irrelevant. It's equal to taking a contract. You know, I'm in business. I have yet to find anyone that will sign a contract and tell me, fill in the top. No, it's always the other way. It's always first fill in the top of what I'm getting, what it's going to cost me, then I'll look if I want to sign it or not. I never had anyone sign it first and said, fill in the blanks. I'm not sure what I would do with that. But are we willing before the Father to sign in the bottom and said, fill up the blank? It does not matter what it is, I'm in. It doesn't matter what it costs me. It doesn't matter where it leads me. It does not matter what I become. 1 Corinthians, the beginning of the verse in 1 Corinthians 4:10, it says that we might be fools for Christ's sake. Are you willing to be a fool for the sake of the kingdom of God? That people look at you stupid for following God. I'm not saying you need to do stupid stuff. But I'm just wondering, how far are we willing to go? Are we fully surrendered, or is there clauses in there that, God, I will do everything? Well, I don't believe it's possible to sign your paper at the bottom of the contract and not. Well, put it this way. The reason in our society we don't sign the bottom of the contract and allow the person to fill in is because we don't know if that person is good. We don't know if he's greedy. We don't know if he's selfish, and he'll put in there whatever. But do we know that for the Father? Do we believe that the Father is good, that the Father loves us, and the Father sincerely cares? Or do we think he has his own agenda and he's just going to use us like a pawn? If we can see the beauty of the Father and the goodness of the Father, I believe it's so much easier to sign that paper and say, God, I am fully surrendered. But to go through life fully surrendered, that it doesn't matter what you call, I'm telling you, it's a sweet life. It's a sweet life. It is beautiful because nothing matters. We can go through life and Satan throws his temptation at us. You can look at him in the eye and say, no. If I would have known that's what God would have done, I would have done it. Because your life is fully surrendered. The idea of saying no to God don't even exist. Because you want everything that God has for you. And you have found that he is good. And that he's loving. And that he truly cares about where we're at. So that's all I have. You can point. I don't know how it ministered to you, but I know for me, I know where I want to be. I know where I'm going. Because I believe that for me to be fully surrendered, it encompasses everything else that I talked about. Were you willing to cry out for brokenness? You're willing. You have a hunger. You have a thirst. You want to go deeper, and it doesn't matter the cost. But your name is signed at the bottom. Say, God, whatever you want is fine. Fill it in. I'm there. God bless you all.